everyone, and welcome to Trailblazers episode 1 for 2018. My name is Nat Edwards, and with me in the studio is my co-host, Sarah Black, award-winning AFLW journalist. Sarah, welcome.
Thanks for just chucking that in there, Nat. I really appreciate it.
Hey, you got to talk yourself up, Sarah. That was amazing, and congratulations on an incredible 2017 for you.
Yeah, thanks. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun being involved in this competition from the ground up. It's, you know, we're beginning to see some players really shine through, and that's exciting for everyone.
And the countdown is now on to round one. We're just days away, just a little bit over a week. We're all looking forward to Carlton Collingwood, of course. The first match kicking things off on Friday, Feb 2, if that is correct.
Yes, that is correct.
I've got my dates set. You know, I'm still in holiday mode. But we do want to relaunch our podcast today. It is the official AFLW podcast right here on afl.com.au. And Trailblazers, we started it a couple of years ago and we're relaunching it in 2018. So it's back bigger and better than ever. So it's great to have you on board this year, Sarah.
Yeah, thank you. It's great to be on board now.
All right, well, let's look ahead to the season because we've got plenty to get through. We've got some great guests coming up on our show today. One of them, Nicole Livingston, obviously the AFLW head of football, as well as a premiership-winning coach in Beck Goddard. So we'll get to our guests very shortly. But I wanted to talk about rule changes for 2018 with you, first of all, and there are three.
Yeah, there are three. It's still a seven-week season, so nothing's changed there. Still the top two are going to be the grand finalists with the team who minor premiers get the right to host the grand final. But to the actual rule changes, we're talking last touch out of bounds.
Yeah, how have you seen that? Because it was trial. There were some practice matches over the weekend and we saw it trialled for the very first time. It's obviously been in the sample for a while now. What are your thoughts on the last touch out of bounds rule?
So it was brought in to decrease congestion, increase scoring, increase the speed of the game. And on first look at the practice matches, it seems to have done that, which is great. There's still a bit of confusion around, you know, with the players and the spectators. What is, you know, the last touch out of bounds? You know, is that going to be a throw-in? Is that going to be a free kick? Who makes that decision? The field umpire in charge makes that decision, not the boundary
and
umpire.
And what's the signalling like? Is it quite confusing?
Well, it's the existing deliberate out of bounds. You know, arm coming through as if you're doing an underarm throw.
Right.
So there may need to be some tweaking in terms of that just to make it a little bit clearer for players. But a few players that I have spoken to said that they really liked the rule. They liked how it was applied on the weekend and they think it's going to be really effective in the long run.
Okay. And the second rule change for 2018 is that the interchange bench has been reduced from 6 players to 5 players. So now we have a situation where it's 16 players on the field and you've got 5 on the bench. So only 21 can be picked in the team. So we've gone away from the best 22, which is going to make it so much harder for the coaches, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. It's going to create a lot more competition for spots. Also, playing lists are a little bit bigger this year. There's 30 to choose from. And one less spot available on the field. And it was brought in because there were a few teams that weren't really using that sixth player, as it were. So there were a few players who were sort of getting only like 20% game time. So the idea is that the players will get more time on the field. The flip side of it is that this is being played in summer.
Yeah.
So some teams were fully maximising their bench. They were, you know, rotating as quickly as they could. So it'll be interesting how this turns out when we get some of those really hot February days.
Well, you play footy. If you had, say, 30% game time or just sat out the game completely, what would you prefer?
Yeah, it's not fun. I did it a few times last year where we were just sort of, we had too many players and I had to sit on the sidelines for half a match.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it sucks. It really does.
So you'd rather just not be picked at all?
I'd say so, yeah. And then you can do something else. You could be a team runner or something like that. That's obviously not applicable for AFLW, but you understand my point.
Yep.
It's not fun sitting on the bench.
No, that's true. No one wants to be a bench warmer. And the third and final rule, introduction of time on for the last 2 minutes of each quarter. I quite like this one. I think we should have had it from the start.
Yeah, it's a really just a common sense rule, I think. There's 15-minute quarters, the last two of which will be time on. So the quarters will push out to 17, 18 minutes. And, of course, that means more opportunity for scoring.
Would you have liked to have seen a final series this year? And this is something I want to ask Nicole about when she comes in. But I mean, just having a one grand final, it's 1v2. Would you have liked to see the introduction of semi-finals in a final series this year?
It's a hard one because there are only eight teams. Yeah. And last year you could say that Melbourne were, who finished third, they were sort of deserving of a grand final spot. They were just pipped at the post by the Crows. Carlton were off the pace a little bit more.
Yeah.
Well, it remains to be seen what the depth is going to be like this year. But the following year, when we bring in an extra two teams and we end up with a competition of 10, we definitely need a final series.
Yeah, so is it your gut feel that they'll probably go that way
in
2019? All right, brilliant. Well, it is time now to introduce our next guest, and it is, of course, AFLW Head of Football, Nicole Livingston. Well, Nicole, thanks for coming in. 10 days to go till round one. You must be excited.
I am very excited. It has come around, I think, before everybody realised it was going to happen. You know, it's been such a big build-up, and for me, this is the start of my 6th week with the AFL. So to be head of women's footy and have this showcase of Australian rules football when it comes to the women is absolutely sensational.
How has it been for you so far? Has it just been a whirlwind?
It has been a whirlwind. We did have a small break over Christmas, like the players, so that gave me a chance to catch my breath and regroup, which was nice. But then full steam ahead when we came back from the break. So there's a lot of people at the AFL. And the great thing about women's football is there is so much interest and so much enthusiasm and passion for it. You know, it's easy to be able to get people on board and to be moving forward collectively. So it's great.
Well, one of the biggest tasks that you've had is, of course, getting around to all of the clubs and meeting everyone. How has that been over the last, I guess, 6 weeks?
It's been sensational, actually. It's been really important for me not only to see the football departments but also to get in and see the girls. So I haven't quite got to Frio yet, so I will be over there for round two in the opening of their stadium, which
Lovely.
Is, you know, that's selling like wildfire, which is absolutely fantastic. So, you know, originally people are talking about 40,000, but I don't know, if they're at 25,000 plus already, which will be a record crowd, do we think that there's going to be more than 40,000?
Very exciting. What do you think, Sarah?
Because it holds 60, so it can actually have more than...
It's definitely going to push 40,000, I reckon. The enthusiasm coming over from Perth has just been phenomenal.
But I've seen some of the girls since practice matches as well. So one of the questions that I made sure I asked them was how they were feeling about the last disposal rule. Were they getting accustomed to the turnover, getting it out very quickly? And the majority of them, all of them, in fact, nobody had anything negative to say. They actually really like it. So that's from two playing groups that I've seen so far. So, it's good to hear that.
It definitely is good to hear. Could you just talk us through some of the rationale in introducing that?
So it certainly happened before my time, but it was a collective. So it wasn't a decision that was made by the AFL that was then passed on to the clubs. It was a consultancy group of every single one of the AFLW teams came into the room, and they spent the day talking about, you know, the style of women's football to try to keep the game moving as well. So stoppages was one of the key reasons for that. And in fact, when there was a single stoppage, 96% of the time there was a second stoppage after that. So it was definitely to try and keep the game moving. Zones is obviously something that's been floated and discussed by that group. I think that probably will be something that the girls wouldn't feel as comfortable with. I've got a son that plays footy, and he's 10. He's was under 8s, under 9s, now under 10s. You know, they play zones. So I guess that's something that, you know, may eventually be discussed again. But for me, it's about making sure that it's the best style of women's football. And I think the girls are on board with that as well. It's showcasing them in the best possible way. But what are you seeing? I mean, you went to some practice games. I saw you there. So what are you seeing when you see the girls play this year compared to what you were watching last year?
Yeah, so we ran into each other at the Collingwood Melbourne practice match on Friday night down at Olympic Park. I thought it had a really good impact, to be honest. There's obviously a little bit of confusion, as there would be when you're introducing a new rule.
Yeah.
A bit of, oh, is this our free kick? Is it a throw-in? What's going on here? But it got smoother as the game went on.
Yeah.
And there was definitely a change in style, which was matched by, I think, also a lift in the skill.
Yeah, great.
So when girls were looking to switch into the middle of the ground, they were holding their marks. There wasn't that sort of turnover stoppage style we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, so and also for me, seeing the girls, you can see that they've had a good pre-season. You can see that a second season has also added to their physicality in terms of their body composition. You know, they look amazing. You know, a lot of the clubs have been saying that they've been focusing on the running side of the game as well. So Collingwood gave feedback in terms of how many girls, in terms of their timings for the 2K. You know, I think their mark that they hold, I'm a swimmer, not a runner, so I'm going to get the timing wrong, and then everyone will say she got it wrong. But the time that they look for in terms of a benchmark, last year they had 2 girls, this year they had 17 girls at that benchmark. So
that really is fantastic.
They've focused a lot on that physicality and the endurance and fitness as well, which is great.
Yeah, sticking with Collingwood, I heard that Cecilia McIntosh, who's one of the oldest players we've got on the AFLW list, she's 37. She ran a PB 2 weeks ago. So
she's sensational, isn't she?
I love that you can be 37 and still playing AFLW. It's awesome.
Yeah. Well, there's hope for us all now.
Well, maybe not for some of us.
Not for me.
No, but it is great that, you know, we have such a mix of ages, we have a mix of backgrounds. You know, it's absolutely sensational to see this come about. And it's not surprising that you have 36 and 37-year-olds playing, because women have been waiting for this opportunity for such a long time. So
they have indeed, and the second season is almost upon us. So round one last year, Carlton Collingwood at Icon Park, we had a lockout situation. We had 25,000 people jam-packed into the stadium, and it was amazing to see, although there were some frustrated people who missed out. What are the expectations for the same game this time around, and what has been put in place, I guess, to make sure that fans aren't disappointed?
So at least we have a benchmark from last year. So last year we had nothing to go on because it was the first ever game. So we're preparing for a lockout.
Yep.
So we hope that everybody does come along to Icon Park.
Just get there early.
Get there early. The ground will open at 5:45, and this year we actually have an overflow area. So we have a live site on the northern lawn. There are food trucks there. There's big screens, so there is an overflow area. But I do encourage people, 5:45, the gates open, to get there early, and then we'll be really clear with our communication with people as it does start to fill up. And then when we do actually be directed by police to lock it down, we will do that, but our communication will obviously be directing people to the live site, which will be fantastic. Let's just fingers crossed for good weather.
I know, exactly. Now, free entry again this year to all games?
Yes, except for the Perth Optus Stadium.
Okay.
So with that one, it was only $2. And so that's actually good information that we've been able to gather in terms of knowing how many people are coming to that game, which is an advantage. The $2, a dollar of it went to charity, and the other dollar covered the cost of printing the ticket, and they get free public transport with that. So it is free entry. And we're in lots of different places this year, which is absolutely fantastic as well, like Drummoyne Oval.
Yep.
You know, we'll go down to Moe. There's lots of great venues.
Do you see in the future, I guess, changing that and making people pay for entry into the games?
It's something that will be looked at for season number 3. It's something that we obviously need to be also asking our attendees of games. You know, we need to actually ask them, are they prepared to pay for a ticket? You know, in this bigger conversation that we're having, you know, people want the girls to actually be able to be more full-time if they would like to be more full-time or less compromised in terms of having to juggle work and making ends meet and playing football. So, you know, if we're true about this and we actually do want the girls to be compensated better, then those commercial elements do need to be considered and looked at. So, you know, we've had a really nice atmosphere at season number 1. We hope that that continues. Season number 2, we had a lot of people new to footy coming through the gates. So that's all on the table for season number 3, with 2 new teams joining as well.
Yeah, a perfect segue. I was just about to ask. You could read my mind. Yeah. We've got Geelong and North Melbourne entering in 2019, which is going to be really exciting for those fans. I know there's some really keen North Melbourne fans, especially who've been hitting me up on Twitter going, when are we going to see
and
North Melbourne play?
Tassie as well.
Exactly.
You know, we get to go into the Tasmanian market, which is great.
Look, a few Tasmanian girls playing this year. Daria Bannister just got picked up by the Dogs. She's going to be a gun. Look out for her. But my question is, you're already looking ahead to sort of smooth their entry come 2019. Have you got plans in place for the draft, you know, that sort of thing?
So we've started to have some discussions with the Players Association as well, because obviously the standard playing agreement finishes after this season as well. So all of those discussions are starting to take place. You know, even the question of what does it look like, the length of time, you know, these are all things that we still need to consider. Our priority is getting season number 2 up and away and happening very well. And those conversations will continue to happen during the season, yep. which is really important, as to those conversations with local government, sponsors, just to try and make sure that they understand the bigger vision, which is to have this as a sustainable league. So all of those things are up for discussion, and what I will say is that we will do it with consultation with the clubs, including the two new clubs coming in, as to what it will look like. But yeah, the fantastic thing about the AFL is that it's obviously a very big organisation, and there are people within the organisation that are experts when it comes to that strategy. So there'll be a few different options on the table as to what it might look like.
And do those discussions include an expanded finals series in 2019?
We were discussing that before. We're both like, we really want to have a final series.
Just more games.
Well, it exactly. builds to the drama, doesn't it? Yeah. So, you know, we are where we are for season number two. And again, all of those things will be up for discussion. And you know, we want to hear the thoughts of the clubs as to what they would like to see as well. And then we'll look at the business case of it as well. So it's important.
One of the great successes, I guess, of the first season was the fact that it just gave other women at a grassroots level maybe the confidence to go and play footy themselves. Now, I know both Sarah and I took up football last year.
Yep. How'd you go?
Well, I won a premiership.
Did you?
Go Old Campbell.
Yeah, well, we actually played in the same division. We yeah. played each other in our very first match, believe it or not.
Was there any argy-bargy?
No, we both played in the forward okay. line, yeah. so okay. yeah. it was fine. We didn't have to see each yeah. other.
We're just hanging around the forward pocket, the two of us. we beat Nat's team twice, so we got that over them.
But what I loved about it is that, you know, we saw within the AFL when the participation rates came out that there was a massive increase in female participation and women's teams at a grassroots level. I guess my question is, how much do you have to do with making sure that now there is enough infrastructure and, I guess, facilities to deal with all these women that want to play footy at a grassroots level?
Yeah, that's definitely part of my remit. So as head of women's football, and along with Madeline Penny, who was instrumental in the first season, she's got an amazing strategic mind. You know, we will be looking at all of that in terms of, I mean, the Victorian market is quite mature. Yep. For men's football, we need to make sure that the experience that women are having out in the community is actually the right experience as well. So it's that much bigger piece. You know, we need more women involved in the game as well. Men, we need supportive of women in the game, but we need female coaches, we need female technical officials, so we need to have females, you know, thinking about umpiring, yep. you know, thinking about all of those positions from a technical point of view that need to be fulfilled to hold a game. So, you know, that will start to be a real focus to make sure. And one of the things that I'd love to see is that if a girl playing AFLW, when they're at that elite level, if they actually do want to have a career in football and they want to start doing something like coaching, that we can work with them. I don't know what it looks like yet, yep. you know, whether it's through the AFL or it's through Sports Ready, but we work with them to actually get their coaching accreditation, and we start to get them out coaching other girls' teams as well, so that they can start to make a little bit more of money. If they're, you know, private schools, local teams, those kind of things would be fantastic. But then we start to have influence on them being fuller time footballers, but then we also have influence on the next generation of footballer that we bring through from a skill point of view. So infrastructure, you know, I went to GWS and I've been to most of the clubs, but GWS, they've got this beautiful field at the back of their training venue that's got no lights, and a community ground next to it that has no lights. So when they get to winter, they're very limited with the amount of time that they can actually use their field. So to be, you know, while we're in Sydney, talking to Sydney Olympic Park Trust about considering the fact for women's participation, we need lights there.
100%.
So, you know, synthetic grounds, that could be something that councils could be looking at rather than big costs. I know the AFL have, you know, some options in terms of updating facilities when it comes to female-friendly facilities. Yeah. So you don't have to knock the whole club room down. There are some options as to how to expand to be able to include a secondary change room. Yeah.
You've got so much on your plate.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
It sounds a little bit over. How many meetings have you been to in the last month, would you say?
I reckon in the first 10 days I met 250 people.
Oh, my gosh.
And I reckon I got to the stage where, the classic example, it's a bit embarrassing, the classic example was at the Youth Girls Academy that I went up to in Darwin. So, you know, we had some amazing talent there, but lots of great staff up there. I was in one room, there was about 50 people, and I try to make sure I introduce myself to everybody and have a chat to them. And I did that, and about half an hour later I got back back to the start of the room and I put my hand out and said, hi, I'm Nicole. And they said, oh, actually, we met about half an hour ago.
Oh, no.
So I know. But, you know, I'm meeting some great people that are filled with passion for women's football. And, you know, Darren Flanagan, that's at AFL Victoria, I've had a meeting with him to just talk about, you know, the next generation of girls coming through in Victoria. And, you know, he's saying to me that a lot of his mates that he played football with, you know, so this current generation, the generation before that of dads that had daughters that haven't found a way to be involved in football really, and now saying, fantastic, here's my opportunity, and they're coming out of the woodwork to be involved in football, which is just great.
Well, we're happy to have you on board. Thank you so much for joining us on Trailblazers.
So, you know, I'm going to be
today.
controversial at this first one because I mentioned the dreaded Z word. I said zones. So.
Oh, no. It's all right. We'll just gloss over that and we'll get season two underway and see where we can go from there. But thank you so much for coming in.
And happy to check back with you anytime you want.
Great.
Thanks, Nicole.
Thanks.
Alrighty, well, in the lead up to round one of 2018, we're going to take an in-depth look at each team. Alphabetical order, we'll do it four this week and four teams next week, Sarah. So we might as well start with Adelaide, of course, the premiers. And we do have the coach, Beck Goddard, on the phone with us now. Beck, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having us and thanks for starting alphabetically. It's a good way for us.
Exactly, right off the top. Now, how was your off-season? I do believe you might have had a sneaky trip to London. Is that correct?
Yeah, I did. I popped over to see the Queen on AFL Grand Final day. I don't know if it was good luck having me out of the country or not for the Crows, but I went over for a Grand Final breakfast at Australia House at the embassy there and told everyone that Adelaide had do the double when the boys just couldn't quite get it done.
Yeah, that was a shame on AFL Grand Final day. Of course, did you get to see some of the sights as well and turn it into a bit of a holiday?
Yeah, it was really relaxing. You know, my partner's English, so we went over there and I got to meet the family and do lots of touristy things, including Princess Diana's wardrobe. So I've got some ideas for Brownlow this year.
Ooh, that would have been so interesting. So we can expect maybe a tiara here or there or a pantsuit of some kind?
Yeah, look, I don't think I'm going to pull it off as well as she used to, but I'll give it a crack nonetheless.
Well, we can't wait to see that, Beck. Now, of course, Adelaide reigning premiers. The obvious question is, can you go back to back?
Well, look, a lot of people have asked me that. And I think the thing is that you'll never get me to say, yeah, that's the plan, we're going to go back to back. But I suppose, like most football coaches, you know, you want to win games of football. That's what you're there to do. And we set our standard really high last year. So the way we've approached our off-season is, why can't we? Now, when we say why can't we, that's things like why can't we do extras? Why can't we kick better? Why can't we run faster? So that's the mentality that we've had over the off season, and you know, I think we're in a really great position to start our season two off in a good fashion.
I like that messaging. I mean, does it make things more difficult given that you are now going to be the hunted?
Oh, look, I don't know if it does. I mean, this time last year, everyone sort of thought we'd come last or second last. So I was a bit skinnier and pretty relaxed. You know, this year I'm a bit fatter. I've got more grey hair. There's a lot more tension in the neck. So really that's about the only thing that's different. You know, and everyone asked the question about being the hunted or the back-to-back question. And I think that's great that other people think that about us. But internally within our walls at the Adelaide Football Club, we're just looking at, you know, doing things better, doing more of the things to make us better and enjoying each other's company, which is what, you know, our season was built with that kind of success last year.
We had a practice match on Saturday night, I believe, and you beat the Freo Dockers by 12 points. How did you see that one?
So Freo actually beat us.
Oh, sorry. I got that the wrong way around.
Right. Just, you know, last 2 minutes, they got a couple of sneaky 50-metre penalties that gave them two goals, you know, right in the death. So we were really pleased with the way that we played out the game. You know, we didn't play Chelsea Randall, Erin Phillips, Sarah Perkins and Hatchard. So we had quite a few missing from the lineup, but it was a great opportunity for the new girls, who we don't call the new girls anymore because they're part of our Adelaide family, to cement a position in the team for round one, or at least put their claim to it. So we enjoyed the hit out. And, you know, this time last year, we went down to Freo by 5 goals. So sort of tradition that we lose our pre-season and go from there.
And the girls that you mentioned that did sit out, are they all good to go for round one? It was just a sort of a managing their load situation?
Yeah, just managing their bodies, and you know, there's always a bit of soreness because it's that time of year where you're absolutely thrashing them to get them in the best kind of condition for round one. And I had the three of them in the coach's box with me, and then they left for the last quarter and sat down on the boundary to sort of talk to their teammates a bit more and look at things from a different angle. So it was good for them to see what we do up in the coach's box and also hear from them about what they were seeing and how we could improve.
Now, speaking of that practice match, we know a little bit about Jess Allen and Jazz Hewitt, who both played up forward on Saturday night. What can you tell us about some of your other recruits? People, you know, girls such as Ruth Wallace really caught the eye.
Yeah, she did, didn't she? I sort of hoped we'd be able to sneak her under the radar before we got to round one, but she kicked an absolute ripping goal on the left, on the run off one clean pickup. Yep. And that should really put people on notice of what she's capable of. I feel like any time the ball goes in her zone, in that 50-metre arc, something exciting is about to happen. That's what we've seen at training. That's what she brought to the game on the weekend, and she'll do that throughout the season.
Now, you were playing in Darwin. This year, you've only got the three players who are based up there. There's a few that have moved down to South Australia. Is that relationship still working as well as it did last year?
Oh, 100% it is. Those girls are still Darwin girls. We count them as Darwin girls. They brought their Darwin training standards, their professionalism to meetings that they've learnt, you know, up at AFL-NT. They just wanted an opportunity to do things a bit differently and try and cement their spot in the team. And if I was, I put myself in their position, I totally understand why they want to do that. You know, some of them are close to sort of some of the, perhaps the end of their playing careers, so they want to give themselves the best opportunity. And they still would have had that up in Darwin,
yep,
but I understand wanting to be in the facilities that the Adelaide Football Club has to offer. Hopefully we get into a position in the next season or two where there's actually full-time pay for the girls. So, you know, packing up and moving here isn't temporary and it's not going to cost them their leave at work and so forth.
Now, Beck, Erin Phillips pretty much achieved everything that she could possibly. I don't know how she's going to do it, but can she get to higher heights in 2018?
I think she can. You know, Erin and I were talking a week or so ago about, you know, about this very, very subject. You know, it's really hard to back up when you've been so successful in season one, individually especially. But the thing about Erin is she was successful because she loves football.
Yeah.
So if she keeps that in her mind about why she's here and why she does it, it's because she loves it. And it's a great lesson for little boys and girls out there too. If you love playing footy, then you're naturally going to want to be there more, spend more time and be the best you can be. And that's how Erin is, the way she is.
Is she the kind of person that thrives on the pressure and, I guess, the expectation that people put on her, or maybe struggles with that a little bit? What kind of personality is she in that regard?
I think she loves to be uncomfortable.
Okay.
And that's the environment that we do sort of love to create here at Adelaide. You know, that why can't we mentality, that uncomfortable to play against. But that's also uncomfortable for the players to come to training and turn up and be intense at every session that we have.
I like that. One of my favourite quotes is actually from Brendan Bolton. He told me once, you got to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. And I really love that saying. So it'll serve her well.
Yeah, it's a really terrifying proposition for the rest of the competition, I think, a better Erin Phillips. Now, just moving on, You're the Voice was your song of last year. Have you got another one lined up for this year?
Why would we change something that was so successful, girls? I mean, I don't, you know, another person asked me that last night. I'm like, no, like, I'm not changing Farnsie. He served me well. Like, actually, over the break, I went and watched him at a day on the green at a winery out here in South Australia. And I was in the front row, and I swear he looked and waved at me. Like, he gave me the go Crows while on stage.
That is awesome. He should have brought you up on stage to sing along with him. That would have been better.
Yeah, or I could have played the bagpipes or something. I mean, anything. I would have taken anything.
Can you play the bagpipes? Is that a hidden Beck Goddard talent we don't know about?
No, I give the trumpet a bit of a go. In fact,
okay.
I was busking out the front of Marnica Oval in Canberra at a GWS versus St Kilda game many years ago, yeah. And I made $146 just playing Oh When the Saints Go Marching over and over again. So, bagpipes I haven't tried yet, guys.
Now, Sarah and I were chatting at the top of the show about the rule changes for 2018. Have you seen that play out so far? And I guess the last touch out of bounds, I guess, is the biggest one that everyone's been talking about.
Yeah, we didn't use it quick enough on Saturday night up in Darwin. So, you know, we'll probably do a little bit of that over the next week or so, fine-tuning into round one. I don't think we we had a couple of them in our game, and I don't think we reacted particularly well or to keep the game, you know, going or fast enough. But, I mean, the conditions up in Darwin were a bit different around the rest of Australia. It was 87% humidity on Saturday night, and it's in the monsoon season, so the football was like a bar of soap. So it was a bit hard to sort of get things going at the nice speed that we would have liked to.
Generally, I think we saw like a lot of the teams try and switch back into the corridor a lot more than we have previously to try and avoid the ball from actually going out of bounds, which I guess makes for potentially more scoring.
Yeah, definitely does. I think, in fact, players could be criticised for making a decision about banging it back into the corridor. You'd be like, oh, the coach, well, why would you do that? But the intention is to keep the game going. That's why players are having to do that.
Now, we have a little segment on our show where we like to find out a little bit more about the personalities and the guests that we have on. It's called Quick Hands because we couldn't come up with anything better. And we were trying to do some kind of football pun. So
we're open to suggestions if you've got anything that comes to mind.
But it's sort of like six or so quick fire questions. First thing that comes to your head, have fun with it anyway. So the first one is favourite movie, an easy one to get you started.
Oh, Philadelphia.
All right, and dream holiday destination?
I reckon that'd have to be the Philippines.
Ooh, I like that. Last book that you read?
Last book that I read was The Girl Who Fooled the World, Bell Gibson.
Ooh, worth a read?
Yeah, it was really interesting, actually. Absolutely fascinating. I couldn't believe the story behind that, and some really great investigative journalism, which I know you two are good at.
I know. We're going to have to get onto that, Sarah.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Cats or dogs?
Dogs. My brown Labrador, Howard, all the way.
Well done. And is there a coach's pet at the club?
Oh, now, come on. I think the girls think that there might be. But, of course, they're all my. I love all of my children equally.
Oh, of course you would say that.
Technically, the coach's pet is your dog.
That's exactly right. Yeah. No, all the girls know that Howard is the coach's pet, so that's that.
Perfect. And finally, what are you watching on TV at the moment?
I'm watching Designated Survivor.
Cool. That's on Netflix?
Netflix, yeah.
That's on my list of must-watch Netflix shows, so I'll have to get onto that next.
Give it a go, guys.
Well, Bec, thank you so much for joining us on Trailblazers. We really appreciate your time, and best of luck, of course, for round one.
Thanks, guys. Hopefully luck won't be required. Just great preparation.
Exactly. All right. Thanks, Bec.
See you, guys.
Well, Bec Goddard there, an Adelaide Premiership coach and a trumpet player, Sarah.
Yeah, who knew?
She's a woman of many talents. We'll just quickly talk. I mean, we talked to Bec about the changes to the Adelaide side a little bit. What's your prediction, though, for this year for the Crows?
See, it was interesting, the practice match. They played without Chelsea Randall, Sarah Perkins and Erin Phillips, and they really struggled. So I've actually got them sliding down a bit.
Yeah, do you think they just rely on those big four? And then Ebony Marinoff as well, too much?
Yeah, I think so. And I think the other teams may have just closed the gap a little bit.
Oh, interesting. All right, let's move on to Brisbane. It's very easy, A, B, C. I know the alphabet past kindergarten. So the Lions, they played a practice match as well on the weekend. I think I've got this result right, but they lost to the Giants by 50 points. Is that right?
That is correct,
Nat. That is a smashing, and that's not going to fill them with a whole lot of confidence come round one.
It isn't. They actually played five quarters, as it is. Fifths? I don't know. I don't know what you'd call it. And GWS really pulled away at the end there. So that's not great signs for Brisbane. They did blood a lot of young players. And they've lost Taylor Harris.
Yeah, that's a massive loss, isn't it? I mean, how are they going to fill the void? I know that they have their two small forwards in Kate McCarthy and Jess Wunschner. Is that how you say it?
Wunschner. Yeah.
I'm always like, you know, the German pronunciation or whatever. But so they've got the two small forwards there still. Yeah. Can Isabella Eyre somehow slot into that forward line?
She showed a few signs at Carlton, Bella Eyre. She's pretty young, though. She's pretty raw.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how she goes up there. Sabrina Frederick-Traub is, of course, still there. But they also need her in the ruck a bit. So they may lack that forward target.
When it comes to their midfield, though, I know that they lost Taylor Harris, but they gained Nat Exon. That is a very good pickup.
Yeah, Nat was a real steal for Carlton last season. She came off the rookie list and we've got an athletics background. She is lightning quick, which was, you know, Brisbane are already a really fast team. So add Nat to it and, yeah, they'll be impossible to catch.
Anyone else we should watch out for in terms of recruits?
A few of their young girls. They've got Kalinda Howarth, who's going to be a gun in a few years. A very lively, energetic girl, Kalinda. She plays off half forward. And Ruby Blair in the back line is another young girl to look out for in the future. They've lost Sam Virgo to an ACL. Sam played across the back line. She saw their loose defender. She's going to be a real loss for them. So, I see Brisbane sliding a little bit. Okay. Like the Crows.
Yeah, well, they do have a really tough fixture as well because they've got Adelaide, Carlton, Melbourne and GWS all away. So it's a pretty tough draw. We'll see how the minor premiers from last year go. Let's move on to Carlton. And the Blues beat the Doggies in a practice match in Ballarat on Saturday. 16 points was the margin, and it was good to see Darcy Vesio back up and running, although she did play some limited game time.
Yeah, she played limited game time. Coming off that PCL injury that she got in the VFLW season, she played limited game time, still kicked 3 goals.
Yeah.
So the Darcy of old, a little bit rusty, but still, to all reports, lightning quick when the ball hits the ground.
Now let's talk about the Blues in the off-season because they went hard in the trade period. Like, it was crazy. I can't believe they actually managed to snag Collingwood's best and fairest winner in Nicholas Stephens. That was an absolute coup.
Yeah, crossing to the enemy, yeah, Nicola.
I know. There's going to be some spice in round one.
Most definitely. She cited it's sort of like a pre-existing relationship with Damien Keeping. She's worked with him before, really likes the way he goes about it, and wanted to move to the Blues. So she'll slot in across half-back, as she did so well at Collingwood, and maybe allow Bree Davey to move up the ground a bit, which, you know, I can't wait to see what Bree does when she's released from the from having to defend.
And Taylor Harris as well. I mean, you can't argue with bringing someone like that into your forward line. I mean, their attack is going to be pretty hard to contend with.
Yeah, it was sort of an all-or-nothing approach with the Blues. They went really hard after those stars. They haven't really brought in a ton of young talent. Georgia G is probably the best of their young players.
She looked good.
Yeah, she was playing across half forward, set up a few goals. Very lively Vic Country girl.
Excellent. All right, Collingwood. Well, it wasn't a great 2017 for them, was it? I mean, they finished fifth and they probably didn't have the season they had hoped, but they've gotten off to a good start, beating the D's in a little practice match at the Holden Centre, as you mentioned before, with Nicole. That was 3 points the margin. Mo Hope, she's lost a ton of weight. She's looking really fit. I didn't get to see any of the game at the Holden Centre, but I know you were there. How did she play?
She actually moved into the midfield. So we're looking at midfield Mo. So it's a bit of a change in thinking from us.
I like it.
Yeah. She's obviously got really good hands, really, really agile sort of player. Still not really accustomed to playing in the midfield, though. Mm-hmm. Hopefully she'll get more comfortable as the season develops. Another move to look out for with the Pies is that they've moved defender Meg Hutchins forward.
Really?
So Meg's played defence for a long time, and she kicked 2 goals. So it could be a masterstroke from Wayne Siegmund there.
Losing Alicia Eva, as we spoke about, obviously, Nicola Stephens before, which is a massive loss, but Alicia Eva as well, who's off to the Giants, that's a big loss too for the Pies.
It really is, and off the field as well. Alicia's a great leader. She's a coach on the field and off the field. She's going to head up New South Wales's under-18 side, which is great for New South Wales, not so good for Victoria. They did pick up Jamie Lambert in the off-season, and Jamie's in really good nick. She didn't have the best season at the Dogs. I think she'd be the first to admit that. She sort of had a few knocks, few corkies that really didn't let her show how good she can be.
I was reading some interesting stats, and if you haven't got a copy of the AFLW prospectus, I would recommend it. But it was interesting to see that just only 3 of Collingwood's midfielders actually averaged over 10 disposals per game last season, which is quite incredible when you think about it. So do you really see that as a point of weakness for the Pies, their midfield?
It definitely was last year. Amelia Barden was sort of the sole really hard inside mid they had. And remember, they had Emma King at their disposal. She's the premier ruck in the competition.
Yeah.
And to not capitalise on that wasn't great from the Pies. But the flip side of it is if they can get their midfield right, they can really do some damage this season.
What are your predictions for the Pies?
Saying that, I think it's going to be much of the same.
I like that you tried to be really neutral and positive, and I'm like, and really, what do you think?
No, yeah.
About fifth?
About fifth, but a better fifth, okay. If that makes sense.
Yep.
Yeah. So they're going to play at a higher standard. It'd be great if they really knock off one of the top teams, which they struggled to do last year.
All right, beautiful. That is our season preview with the first four teams in alphabetical order, of course. We'll have four more teams to preview next week in episode 2. One of the new segments we have here on Trailblazers, Sarah, is social stalkers. Both of us love social media, and so we're always on there. Luckily, our bosses don't seem to care too much.
It's part of the job now. It's part of the job.
It's part of being a journalist. It's what we do. Yeah. And so we want to pick every week someone that we've been stalking on social media in the AFLW world, or just a post that caught your eye. And if you have anything out there, our listeners, we'd love to hear from you as well, so you can contact us on Twitter. We'd love to hear from you. Send in your questions as well, because from next week we will be answering your questions here on Trailblazers. So, Sarah, who have you been stalking in the last week or so?
Well, to kick things off, I thought I'd start with the one and only Erin Phillips. How could you go past the champion? She's retired from basketball officially in the last week or so.
I know.
And there's a great video of her that she posted on Instagram. Her family, her immediate family, threw her a surprise retirement party when she came home from Darwin a few nights ago. So they're all decked out. All the kids are decked out in green and gold. There's streamers. Yeah, so have a look at that one. It's a nice video.
What's her Insta tag?
Erin Phillips 131.
All right, beautiful. Follow that. Now, mine is, I am a little bit obsessed with Darcy Vesio and following her on Instagram because she
is
hilarious. At Darcy V, and that's V-E-E, that's her Insta tag. So she loves to dress up as an old person. And so there are a couple of photos on there at the moment where she is dressed as an old lady and she's got the full wrinkly skin and everything. So they've gone to a lot of effort, obviously, for an upcoming promo or campaign or something. But it is hysterical. And I find her Instagram and social media posts very entertaining at the best of times. She likes to take the piss too, which I quite enjoy. So at Darcy V, if you're after a laugh. All right. Well, that is the end of episode 1 of Trailblazers for 2018. Sarah, thanks so much for being in with us. It's been a pleasure having you.
Thanks for having me, Nat. It's been a lot of fun.
No worries. And thanks as well to Beck Goddard and Nicole Livingston, who joined us on our show today. All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll see you next week.